For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. Our next story is a look at how Kentucky defies an easy label of red state or blue state. The Commonwealth is a place that was once solidly Democratic at both the state and federal levels, but now it's common to send moderate and conservative Democrats to the General Assembly while voting for extremely conservative candidates for U.S. House, Senate, and President. Kevin Willis has our story.
If you discuss politics with someone in Kentucky, and we're talking about a real hardcore political junkie here, it's an issue that's bound to come up eventually. It's a well-known phenomenon that in many parts of the region, voters who are registered Democrats sometimes cast ballots for politicians in federal races who are anything but Democrat. The Bowling Green-Warren County area is a great example of this. Bowling Green is home to Representative Jody Richards, a Democrat who served as Kentucky House Speaker longer than anyone in state history. Warren County is also home to U.S. Senator Rand Paul, a Tea Party champion who is believed to be strongly considering a future run for the White House. So, what's going on here?
I think you have to go back and look at the history.
Patsy Sloan is a Democrat who served as Bowling Green mayor from 1987 to 1991 and was also the second congressional district co-chair for Jimmy Carter's 1976 presidential campaign.
Kentucky has always been kind of a hybrid state. You know, are we Southern? Are we Midwestern? We're neither one completely. We're sort of a hybrid mix of that, and I think our politics has reflected that.
The South Central Kentucky region has many examples of communities that send moderate to conservative Democrats to Frankfort and very right-wing conservative Republicans to Washington. Case in point, Barron County. Glasgow Democrat Johnny Bell is running unopposed next month for his seventh term as a state representative. But Barron County in 2010 went comfortably for Republican Senate candidate Rand Paul over Democrat Jack Conway. This despite a Democratic registration advantage in the county of more than 7,000. Bobby Richardson is a man who knows these facts very well. He's the embodiment of the old-school Southern Democrat. Richardson represented Kentucky's 23rd House District, which covers Barron and part of Warren counties, from 1972 to 1990. He served as Speaker of the Kentucky House during the 1982 and 84 General Assembly sessions. Speaking to WKU Public Radio in his law office in Glasgow, Richardson said to understand Kentucky's present political atmosphere, you need a bit of a history lesson. Richardson points out that while Kentucky never joined the Confederacy during the Civil War, it was still subjected to many of the federal government's Reconstruction policies after the Union prevailed.
It was occupied territory, even though it hadn't withdrawn. So the Republican Party was in the minority because of the anti-federal government feeling.
And in the 1860s, being anti-federal government meant being anti-Republican, which was the party of Abraham Lincoln and Reconstruction. Southern Democrats continued to support states' rights over centralized power in Washington, and many Kentuckians became what's known as yellow dog Democrats, or someone who would rather vote for a yellow dog than a Republican. For decades, more than a century really, parts of Kentucky were a virtual no-man's land for the GOP. Local and state elections were decided during the Democratic primaries, with little or no Republican challengers to face in the general election. Again, former State House Speaker Bobby Richardson.
It wasn't respectable to be a Republican, probably until maybe 50 years ago.
That started to change when World War II ended and a victorious U.S. general and Republican named Dwight Eisenhower ran for the White House. In winning the election of 1952, Eisenhower lost Kentucky by less than 1,000 votes to Democrat Adlai Stevenson. Eisenhower won the Bluegrass State 4 years later when he was reelected to a second term. Bobby Richardson says it was a seminal moment for many Bluegrass State Democrats who pulled the lever for Eisenhower. What was once unthinkable for many Kentuckians, voting for a Republican, wasn't the life-ending experience some had assumed it would be.
What I'm saying is, I voted for a Republican and I didn't go blind.
Despite Republican gains in parts of Kentucky in recent years, a look at the state's registration numbers would give the impression that the Commonwealth is still a strong place for Democrats. Republicans have certainly cut into the Democratic Party's once overwhelming advantage. Still, according to numbers released this month by the Secretary of State's office, there are 500,000 more registered Democrats in Kentucky than Republicans. Still, Democrat and former Bowling Green Mayor Patsy Sloan says those numbers are misleading.
The mere fact that you have this overwhelming Democratic registration really doesn't mean a darn thing when it comes to presidential elections or senatorial elections.
Local and even state races are still largely about retail politics, according to Sloan. Winning a seat in Kentucky's General Assembly takes a lot of handshaking, baby kissing, local parade marching, and speaking at civic organizations like the Rotary Club. Sloan believes people largely vote for state House and Senate offices based on personality, not ideology like they often do during congressional or presidential races.
These local elections are just not ideology-driven. And more at the national level, each of the two major parties has been driven to its extreme element.
Sloan says while Republicans at the national level have in recent years been able to count on Kentucky to vote for John McCain and Mitt Romney for president and Mitch McConnell, Jim Bunning, and Rand Paul for Senate, Democrats have still been able to muster enough quality local candidates to maintain control of the Kentucky House while also running the governor's mansion in all but 4 years since 1971. But if you talk to enough people in the Commonwealth about state politics, you'll probably hear at some point that a lot of Kentuckians who register as Democrats do so out of a sense of tradition or family history. Patsy Sloan says many of those voters are the kind who will go Democratic at the local or state level, but often choose Republicans at the top of the ballot.
They're registered Democrats largely because of family or tradition or history or just that's the way it's always been, but they're more selective when it comes actually to voting, I think particularly for national level offices.
When you look at how Kentucky has gone in recent presidential elections, a pattern starts to emerge. Democrats can win the bluegrass state, but the last three Democrats to do so have all been Southerners: Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, and Lyndon Baines Johnson. Democrat and former Kentucky House Speaker Bobby Richardson says there's a feeling by some Southern Democrats that the National Party has often picked candidates who are too far to the left to win states like Kentucky.
I think in the Democratic Party that the pendulum swung very far to the left when we had Dukakis and McGovern as candidates.
To be sure, not every Kentucky Democrat would describe themselves as a moderate upset with the National Party's presidential nominees. There is a diversity of thought throughout the state's urban areas, college towns, and rural farmlands, just as there are conservative Republicans who eke out an existence in liberal strongholds throughout the nation. And how about this for bipartisanship? Democrat and former Bowling Green Mayor Patsy Sloan offered praise during our interview for none other than Republican Senator Mitch McConnell. Why? Because, Sloan says, regardless of your political affiliation, you have to give credit to McConnell for what he's done to make the Republican Party a factor in parts of the state where it was once irrelevant.
Do you wish the Democratic Party had its equivalent of a Mitch McConnell to do the same?
Well, of course I do. Yeah. Don't see that happening anytime soon, though.
Sloan says she doesn't let any of this get her down. Being a political junkie, she says, entails observing and analyzing all parts of the political process, and that includes the parts that you don't personally like. Reporting for WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis.